The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I didn't think about my lady. I know that sounds kind of mean. But me and my old lady have fallen into the same old routine. So I wrote to the paper, took out a personal ad. And though I'm nobody's poet, I thought it wasn't half bad. Yes, I like pina coladas.
Can you believe that? I used to like pina coladas too when I drank.
I never liked pina coladas. I'm not a coconut guy.
Oh, that's all I drink now is coconut milk.
Oh, really?
Water, yes.
Well, you're kind of loopy like a nut, so that makes sense.
Yes. Keeps me tuned up. Thank you so much. Good morning, Doug. Hey, I'm going to do the weather report. It's not raining. Go ahead.
That clears it up there, Nick. Thank you very much. And it's not going to be raining for a while, so I'll even double down on your prediction.
Uh-huh. So this is Poke the Hornet's Nest. Bzzz.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Doug Jahnke, and this is my co-host, Mr. Nick Gardner, and we are sponsors of today's and every day's event that we do, so we're not bought by people in special interest. It's just us.
I wish we were bought. I could use the money. No, I'm just kidding you. I've got a very comfortable lifestyle. I learned a long time ago to try and save a quarter out of every dollar you make.
Wow.
And if you can do that, you can be secure in tough times. You know, tough times never last, but tough people do.
Yeah, great saying, Nick. Look at that. Holy cow, that's a bit of wisdom right there.
Well, thank you so much. You might gain a little bit.
Well, I mean,
in the 12 years it's going to take you to catch me.
I didn't say, I've been with you now, what, almost 2 years, and I think that I've gotten smarter.
Oh, geez, has it just been 2 years?
I think it's just...
I got to thinking, I started this a little over 5 years ago. I was going solo for 3 years.
I know. And then the show got good when you invited me on.
That's right. I ran out of something to talk about, so I had to get another dummy.
Well, you know what's funny, Nick, with our folks listening, is when you look at people that did this or do it, you know, 5 days a week, Bongino, Rush, all that stuff.
Carl Bott.
It takes a lot of work, folks, to come up with something or somebody to speak to without being completely repetitive or boring. And so we do it once every 14 days. And every now and then, Nick is sending me stuff. And I'm like, there's so much to talk about, but we have 1 hour. And then Nick comes in with his 73 ideas, and I get like 1 second. So I do appreciate that, Nick, that you keep me on a small tether.
You're welcome. You know, that's I learned that about relationships with women. It's got to be a give and take. And when I got married, I decided that that's what I'm going to do. So 95% of the time we did what I wanted to do, and the other 5% of the time I listened to her ideas.
You are a giver, my friend. You are a giver. Well, before we start, I just want to say a shout-out to my aunt in Roseburg, Oregon. Hi, Aunt Glow. I'm glad you're doing better. And we have new listeners from Saskatchewan, Kindersley, Saskatchewan, Randy and Jamie. Thank you for joining us. Former baseball players that I got to play 4 years with. So welcome to the show, guys. And Nick, let's kick this thing off. We've bored the people enough with your great stuff. You had a story you wanted to relay.
Well, actually, I've got two stories. They're not stories. They're true. I was doing the windows at a place called Puppy Love. It's a dog grooming place. And this little girl, she's probably 3 years old. She looked just like Shirley Temple. She had carrot top hair, red hair. And she was just a little doll. And she runs up to the windows, and she sticks her hands and her face in there, and she's talking to the dog. There's always 10 or 12 dogs in there. And she's naming them, and this one looks like it's on this show. And, oh, look at this one, Grandma. And she went to two windows, and then they went on. So I went inside, and I was talking to Pam, the owner, and I said, did you see that little redheaded girl? And she said, oh, yeah, she comes by every Tuesday. I says, oh, well, that's pretty neat, you know. It was real enjoyable watching her. So when I was getting ready to leave here, she comes on her way back. So I snagged one of those little Kit Kat bars off the counter, and I walked out, and I told that little girl, I bent down. I said, you see that big cream-colored dog there? She said, yeah. He said to give you this, and I held that Kit Kat bar out, and she grabbed it. Boy, she snagged that, and she's over there. Thank you, Mr. Doggy. Thank you for the candy bar. I wish I had that on video. That was pretty good.
Wow, that's a great little story, Nick. At least you didn't sniff her like Joe would have, so I'm pretty happy for you.
Thank you.
That's good.
I haven't hit that stage yet.
Now, I got to say, folks,
I was too worried about pooping my pants to sniff her.
Nick had a great story. He told me last time about his cat, and you guys got to hear this one. This one's actually a funny story. It's a great story. It's a great ending, but it's a funny story.
I wound up with three kitty cats. My wife adopted one, and my son left me two. So that's my livestock I take care of. And I was it was after Kevin's Christ show 2 weeks ago. I was sitting outside talking on the phone about 9:30, and here comes my cat through one of them through the wood pile, and it could hardly walk, and boy, it was in trouble. So I ran over and grabbed her, and she had been mauled by a dog. She had numerous lacerations, but she had one down her stomach that was probably 5 inches long, maybe a little bit more, and an inch and a half wide. And I looked at it, and I couldn't see any internal organ damage. So I called my son up and told him he needed to come over and help me. I'm going to sew this cat up. And just then a friend of mine, Steve, he drove by, and I said, hey, come here, I need a hand. And I laid that little cat on the table out front. I went and got some thread and a needle, and I squirted the inside of her with Neosporin. I run Neosporin up and down the needle and the thread. And she was ductile. She knew she wasn't going to survive. She knew that I was helping her. And she didn't get angry at all. And I sewed her up. And she was in pretty tough shape for about 4 days. I had to force feed her and force some water into her with a dropper. And then she got to where she's licking her food. And she's gradually getting better and better and better. But what I didn't realize is there was a canine wound in her hind quarter there that was deep, and that's the one that has really been giving her trouble, and it's just on the cusp of being healed, and she'll be going outside pretty quick, but it's taken her 3 weeks to heal up.
Wow. Look at that. Dr. Nick.
The veterinarian.
The vet.
Hey, it was either that or kill her.
Well, no, I that's why I'm saying it's a great story, because, I mean, I'm not sure I would sew up a cat of mine. I mean, I love my cats, but that's a bridge too far, because I don't know what the heck I'm doing. So,
well,
very,
I've
very
sewed,
impressive.
I've been sewed up so many times, it doesn't hurt to get hurt anymore. I watch them sew me up. I used to run chainsaws, and I've got scars up and down my legs.
I don't have that problem. I played baseball, and my injuries were internal, so that was good. So, Nick, we got DeQuesto retiring. We've got signs popping up that are way too early. We've got a base in Niger that's been given back to the Niger government and Russia. I mean, we got so much to talk about today. What do we want to start off with?
Well, first of all, we didn't give Niger back a base. We created a base there and gave it to him.
Well, and the thing is, it's they now are saying it's a process. So for the folks who may not know this, and it went under the radar. I mean, after the liberal president Joe Biden did such a great and phenomenal withdrawal from Afghanistan, leaving $85 billion in our top equipment, along with a couple hundred million dollar base to the Taliban. About 2 weeks ago, after a blockade from the new Niger military junta, Joey and the gang decided that we needed to give our brand new $100 million plus base back to Niger, and Niger is cozy with Russia. So the last credible stuff that I've got is we are in the process of withdrawing, and we will leave our brand new $100 million plus base to the military junta, which has already basically stated they're going to invite Russia to take over our base. Joe is doing such a great job.
On top of that, they had not let some of our personnel leave the country.
Oh, no. They actually had a blockade for 2 weeks where we didn't have any food or water getting to the guys, which I think is really strange because I think we could have flown, but I don't know maybe if there was a blockade in the air.
Would call it more of a ransom type deal.
Well, either way, it's just another success story for liberal Joe Biden. Liberal
you mentioned Biden. You mentioned we gave Niger back its base, and I said they never had a base. The same thing went on with the Panama Canal.
Yep.
I remember when Jimmy Carter gave the Panama Canal to Panama, and this Panamanian was on there, and he was saying, we feel whole again. We've got our canal back. And I'm thinking, you never had a canal, home skillet. You know, I think Britain went bankrupt, and we took it over. We lost, I think, 2,000 men down there to malaria and that
and
kind
France,
of stuff.
France went bankrupt trying. Or not bankrupt.
Who,
France also
that's who it was.
Lost
not Britain.
A ton of money and a ton of people, and so you know, it was through engineering and a lot of American might, blood, sweat, and tears, and then we gave it back. And right now, the Panama Canal is doing incredibly badly. They have a drought down there, and there's hundreds of ships on both sides of the Panama Canal that can't get through because of the water problem down there. So,
oh, is that right? I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, yeah. Look up Panama Canal. It's doing really badly right now. Panama's suffering a huge financial loss, and ships are having to now go around South America because they can't. They can be waiting for days and days and days to get through the Panama Canal.
And look at all that fossil fuel they're burning.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my God.
It's terrible.
Hey, I ran across this, and I'm going to read it to you and listen real closely. They finally found the secret to eternal life. The closest thing to eternal life on Earth is a government program. The perfect example is the Stage Grouse motion, perpetual motion machine. They are endangered, maybe, sort of, might be, subgroups. The list goes on, further spending and rules and regulations and studies. The classic is the loss of habitat, evil cows and sheep grazing disturbance. The list of reasons for the program has been longer than a polygamous clothesline. I thought that was pretty good.
That is pretty good.
I got an announcement here. These people were at the last supervisors meeting. It was an evening meeting, and they were waiting, and they weren't going to be able to get up there till probably everybody left. So I told them that I would give them an advertisement. This is the Max Birch Memorial Cornhole Tournament Fundraiser. This is the first one, and it's Sunday today. At 10 till 5, I think is what it says. And it's got different divisions. You've got to pay to be in it. And if you want to get in it, you've got to be there by 10 o'clock, between 9 and 10, to sign up. It's $100 for the elite, $50 for the amateur, and $20 for novice. And I suggested maybe they have a division for blind and their seeing eye dogs.
I like that.
But they're going to have barbecues, kids' games, a silent auction. It's going to be at the Pavilion down at Lake Redding Park. And it looks like if you haven't got anything to do, go on down there. They've got hot dogs and hamburgers. Check in 9 to 10 a.m. And they are featuring DJ Bucky Dungun.
Bucky Dungun. Never heard of him. I got to get his latest CD, I think.
I made an attempt to coach him on T-ball, I guess first and second grade.
Oh, wow. He must be an old guy then.
Well he's,
you're
my
old.
Son. He's my son's age. He's 35, 36.
Right. Fair enough. And you know what, Nick? It's funny.
It took him about 6 years to recover from my coaching.
Well, you know what's funny is I did not know this. I was clicking through one night because that's, of course, what us humans do, at least in America. And there's actually a professional cornhole league.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the training like that? Do you just practice flipping potato chips into a box or something?
Oh, boy, and you got to be chugging beer. Yeah, they ought to have a beer-drinking team there.
I think what they could do is they could do a side-by-side bowling tournament with the cornhole because they're both beer-drinking leagues.
There you go. And this is put on by the RAWC, and it says something down here about wrestling. So I would assume that's the Reading Amateur Wrestling Committee or whatever.
Well,
that's really something to support, and I would encourage you to go to that.
I am encouraging as well. Now, getting back to our regularly scheduled program, I receive, because of my position with you, Nick, and people know we are a radio show, oddly enough, more than one listener, which is awesome. I get stuff sent to me, emailed, and I had one sent to me here, and I thought I would share it with our folks. I don't know if our listeners are aware, but the state of California, the liberal communism hellhole that it has become, is proposing that by 2026, our gas taxes will equal $2. They're $1.40 right now. We have the highest gas tax in the entire nation, but there are proposals to raise our gas taxes to at least $2 per gallon in the next 18 months. unless we stop it. So it is a repeal of California gas, $2 gas tax, and it's coming in. Let me see if I've got a website here I can pass on.
That's a carbon gas tax.
Yeah. Yeah, so today we're paying $1.43 between excise tax, cap and trade tax, and CARB tax.
That's the one they're raising.
Yeah, and now they want to raise it to $2. So, folks, if you think the $6 a gallon gas, I'm paying $5.49 or $5.59 for my premium, I think it would look so much better at $6.50. What do you think?
Well, it's only going to go up 50 cents.
Well, I know.
Well, that's only, going to go up 50 cents. The thing is, this was voted in by the voters, I would say, 5-6 years ago. I remember when it was on the ballot and they sold it. And they said it was going to start low and go high.
Yep. Well, it's going to go high.
And people voted it in.
Well, they also voted for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
No, they didn't.
Well, the machines did. So anyways, folks, we'll kind of keep an eye on that, but be prepared that California is going to even get more unaffordable.
Now, we're going to talk about our how we're not going to be able to get a jail unless we have a special tax, and I've got some clips. So I'm sure Christina, good morning, Christina, is ready with clip number one.
Good morning.
Morning.
He said that with such enthusiasm.
I know. A lot of energy this time of the morning.
Maybe we won't do clip number one.
I think it's coming. She's a little slow on the draw today.
Thank you so much. Great presentation. I appreciate the graphics. When we went through it, I said, listen, this is something that there needs to be a come-to-Jesus moment with the public that says, we will not get a jail. I don't care what any politician tells you. We will not. There's no cuts. There is no way it's going to happen without a sales tax. For me personally, I won't support a sales tax. I think we're taxed to death. So we need to be able to, and this is my opinion, I'm one vote, I'm one person, but I wanted to publicly get this out to say we can talk about building it, cutting it, doing these different processes, but there ain't no way that we are going to make the cuts, be able to do the things necessary to build that jail in any time frame that's going to be of any significance. So I would say, and so that I kicked it off with that. Do you guys, anybody else want to jump in now, or because I can keep going? All right, Supervisor Jones.
Well, obviously, we had been expecting the economy to take a downturn. It hasn't taken a downturn as bad as what I had anticipated, but it is probably going to soften. A lot will be determined later this year. I'm certain of that. I believe we should stay on course, continue to save as much money. Let's take a look at the upcoming budget cycle, continue with our plans. I'm not opposed. I'm like you. We're already excessively taxed in the state of California. It would be a lot easier to ask the public to support a sales tax if we weren't taxed the way that we already were, and trust in government and growing government is not set well for Shasta County residents. But we could certainly put that to a vote of the people if the public wanted to support it or not. That would be up to the public. The only way I would consider such would be something similar to a half-cent sales tax, specific designated for the jail construction and labor to operate the correctional facility only, nothing else, and that would simply be up to the public to support it or not if they so wanted to tax.
Okay, so there you have it. We don't have the money for a jail. The only way we're going to get a jail is a special tax. And I'm for it myself. The way I look at it is I'm not voting for a tax. I'm voting for my safety.
Well, and keep in mind, they've tried this a couple times.
No, they've tried it once, safety tax, and that didn't include a jail.
Well, no, but they've tried to do some kind of taxing, and what people need to understand is it's not a 51-49 situation. You have to win by a substantial margin for it to be a specific tax. So if they're going to actually put a ballot measure or a vote it has to win. I think it's like 60-40 or something. It's got to be like by a large margin, or 66-33 or something.
I think it's 60%.
Yeah, 60%. So just winning 51-49 is not enough, because that's what you can get for a general tax, which goes in the general fund, which means that the politicians can spend it anyway. So if they're going to do a specific tax, it is going to require an overwhelming response. The dilemma that I have is, first off, I used to live in Reading. I now live up in Shingletucky, and I come into town now for work, and I see homeless people everywhere, and it sickens me. It absolutely, because that's not the city I moved to 26 years ago. But let's keep in mind that if this all went roses and unicorns, it's going to be 10 years. And I think the bid is, what, $500 million at the current prices?
No, that's the wheel.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
This isn't the wheel.
Well, I'm just saying, but that's what the last kind of proposal was. So either way, it's still going to be 7 to 10 years before this thing's even built. So the money that we pass today won't even fund what it's going to be by the time it's built, because we're going to have to go through CEQA, all that junk that is imposed upon us. And we have buildings that are, I think, quasi-usable now with some modification. But, I mean, I think each jail cell costs like $300,000 to $400,000 per jail cell. I mean, houses don't even cost that much. So this is – I support we need a new jail. Let's be clear. But the time frame from this process, vote, build is probably between 7 and 10 years. And that's a long time to wait for housing people.
Well, I believe they could get it up quicker.
Absolutely.
There's an outfit, I think it's in Kansas City. I Googled it when committee safety tax was on. And, in fact, I got the idea from Bob Hosinger. They're kind of a cookie-cutter type structure. They put up one unit. Maybe it houses 150 prisoners. And when that's about full, you buy another unit, they put that up, and you just keep adding to it. And you'd save architectural fees. Probably a lot of the environmental impact and CEQA work is already done. They send out advisors to help you get through all that. If they wanted to, we could do it quicker than 7 to 10 years, maybe 3 or 4. I'm optimistic. You know, I talked to John Potter and asked him how long it would take Wind River to build their casino down there that they're building, and he said that's a 24-month build-out.
Yeah.
And that would be a lot more elaborate and complicated than a cookie-cutter-type jail. Let's hear that second clip. This is CEO Rickert, and he's going to explain the finances a little bit better.
If I'm wrong, Aaron.
Yeah, so it requires a two-thirds vote for a specific sales tax, and then a non-specific sales tax is still 50% plus one.
There's probably some work we can do to get creative with how we approach that, to be able to use the 50%, but then segregate the funds at the county level to do that. But then there's a trust factor with the public, because there's no teeth we can put in there to hold a future board to that if they choose to not honor the wishes of this board and what we intended to do with our taxpayers. A couple of other thoughts I wanted to add quickly. I would agree with Troy's assessment. When we were discussing this number with the chairman the other day, the number we were coming up with was probably about $150 million with what we could have got last year for $125 million, and that's if we didn't have significant material shortages, which we've seen off and on with construction. A good look at some of the roadblocks and hurdles we would face would be look at the difficulty with building a new courthouse and what they faced, and that was, while we had a lot of the resources, materials available, the economy simply doesn't have those same resources at this time. Another huge hurdle I see, too, is the rather specific challenges we have with our other municipalities in Shasta County and getting support with the jail, particularly with Reading, making sure we have all our partners on board and supporting the jail. Right now, there's work that needs to be done to build those relationships, to get the community support we need to move forward with the jail. Right now, that's not there. And I would have to concur with all these things in consideration and our future looking at economic indicators not looking positive. It would not be my recommendation to move forward at this time without strong support from the community.
Okay, we're going to go to a break, but let me say this. Coming up after a break, I've got an example of one of the bitter, angry recall people that keep interrupting the supervisors' meetings and just go there to bloviate and accuse and whine because Kevin Cry is still up there. So let's break.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history. It is with great honor and pride that we have been able to support several amazing local businesses like these over the years.
Thanks to the Reading Rancheria for their support of the Kiwanis Festa Dam Club Food for Kids program. We send 185 bags of food home every Friday. They're instrumental in helping us.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Get ready for the ultimate slapdown as Wind River Resort and Casino and Hard Fought Productions bring you Slap War. Experience the excitement on Saturday, June 1st as the Slap Warriors fight to be the last slapper standing. Tickets for this thrilling event start at just $35 plus fees. Score a VIP table for $200 plus fees. VIP tables come with a perfect seat for you and a friend and includes four specialty cocktails. And $10 free slap play. For complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN.
Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
If your pest control company has you wondering what stresses you out more, the bugs they miss or the bill they send you, then it's time to ditch big corporate pest control and call your local guys, Jefferson Pest Control. We have a combined 70 years of experience in dealing with pests including termites, ants, spiders, roaches, rodents, and more. We're local, we're fair, we answer the phone, and we can't wait to hear from you. We're Jefferson Pest Control. You can find us on Google.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Reading Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
You ain't from Russia, so why you rushing? They want my real juice. I think I need to let loose.
What's right? You know, you didn't even, every time when Patrick does something stupid, you don't say anything to him. You don't try to say, hey, Patrick, that's, you don't do that. That's disrespectful. But you agree what he did the last time. He puts some earmugs because he doesn't like to listen to what I have to say. And then he attacks Mary, you know, and the reason he attacks Mary, because he doesn't like women. And, you know, every time you do something dumb, Patrick, we're going to have to bring you a bottle because that's how you act, like a baby. And we're going to bring you some toys and bring you some and bring you a diaper because you act like a baby when you throw a freaking tantrum when you can't get what you want. You know, it's a bunch of bull. You act like a child, you're going to be treated like a child. And I'll tell you another thing. Back in 2007, you acted like a child. You act like a kid. You act like a kid when you don't get what you want. And I have to say this, and I have to feel this is embarrassing for me to say this. You don't like.
Paris too. That goes on every meeting 3-4 times.
Yeah.
And she actually set a bottle up there, some toys and a diaper, and then she had the little squeaky thing. And that's what the recall people are doing. They're getting up there and they're still accusing the whole board. Jonesy's a dirty, rotten, low-down polecat coyote, and Chris Kellstrom's right behind him, and we love Garmin and Mary Rickert.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you know, being that it was majority made up of rhinos and crazy liberals, what would you expect from folks? They lost again, like they did the first time. They're losers, and they're...
Well, they may need to get over it and move on.
Well, they can't. They won't.
You know, they just keep disrupting the meetings, the flow of the meetings. Some of them sign up for every comment, different subjects. You've got to sign up before it starts. They sign up with all of them, and then they decide whether they want to speak. They'll call out a name. I'll pass. And it's just never ending.
Well, and they're the ones that keep calling for, quote, unquote, we need to have better discourse. And it's like they're the ones and the only ones that are getting up there and creating animosity and or chaos. They need to get over themselves. Their beliefs, their politicians, their morals, their guides, they're all corrupt, they're evil, and they're losers. That's what's called liberalism, and they need to get over it.
They need to get on board for a jail. Now, the 50%, that's a no-starter. Absolutely wouldn't vote for that.
No. Because that money goes in the general fund, and it can be used for anything.
And if that was the case, we've got to trust boards that haven't even been elected yet.
Absolutely.
A one-cent sales tax would bring in about $35 million. Now, CEO Rickert mentioned we had to get the cities, Anderson, Redding, and Shasta Lake City on board, and they're all going to want a piece of the pie, and the answer is no. Your piece of the pie is going to be getting criminals off the street.
Well, I mean, I think it would be interesting if the county could go to those cities and say, okay, if you're not on board, then don't – you have to house your own criminals. Go house your own criminals. So, Anderson, go put a jail in downtown. There's a bank building that's empty right now.
I don't know if that's such a good idea because they're not housing the criminals now.
Well,
nothing
no.
Nothing had changed.
But I think that's one of the reasons maybe why these outlying areas are a little bit less infested is because the cops – and I have some clients who are cops. You know, they bring the perp, as it's called, perpetrator, to the Redding County Jail, which is downtown. The perp is back out, but they now are not in Anderson. They're now not in Shasta Lake City, so there's an inconvenience to get back to those communities, so they're concentrated here. You know, I would say if Anderson and Shasta Lake City and Redding don't want to be part of the solution, tell them they have to house and feed and patrol their own jail. They might want to get on board at that point.
Well, I don't think we can force them to do that. But
I know,
you know,
we can't. It's
just
an idea.
It's common sense that they need to get on board because this is the start of cleaning up our county. If we can't do this, it's not going to get cleaned up.
Well, and I disagree. I'm going to disagree with you, Nick, and I know that we never disagree. We're almost like one person. The laws in California are designed and getting worse to let criminals. Now, there's some theory that we're going to start repealing some of this crazy stuff, but I don't believe it. Newsom just appointed 17 uber liberal judges, so I don't think crime and punishment is going to get any tougher. Unfortunately, I think that the system has to crash. That's just my opinion because the DAs that we have are not prosecuting. The laws don't allow them in many cases. The cops are arresting the same people over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Having a new jail doesn't do us any favor. And then with the state closing down Susanville and possibly others, I don't want these people on my streets. Don't get me wrong, but I...
Well, you don't want a jail. Where are you going to put them?
I will. I say we put
the
them on a bus.
The old Costco building?
Well, I think we should do what Mexico's doing and Panama and Venezuela. We should put them on a bus and ship them south back to those guys. They're sending all of their prisoners to us. Why don't we send all of ours to them?
Well, if they don't steal the election from Trump again, we will be sending their prisoners back to them.
Yeah, no kidding.
But the thing is, if we had a jail, that in not a long period of time would alleviate the pressure on the DA, on the defender's office. They could prosecute, and when they got done prosecuting, they could sentence them to jail, 30, 60, 90 days, whatever it may be. Misdemeanor, any misdemeanor, you steal $25, that's a misdemeanor if the police wants to file it as a misdemeanor, punishable by up to $1,000 fine and or up to 364 days in jail. Why would you waste your time prosecuting somebody when there's no room in the jail for them? I mean, if we had room in the jail, people that are arrested time and time again would they wouldn't commit as many crimes because they're in jail.
Well, and the truth to that is simply the fact that if you got them off the street and could hold them, that's one less repeat contact the police have to have with that individual. So that part I'm 100% with you. If you could at least keep them off the street, even if it's 30 days waiting for a trial, that's 30 days. Those people are not creating chaos and havoc.
That's right. And that would alleviate all the pressure on a lot of the NGOs and the Goodwill Rescue Mission that are helping the homeless that would really accept help.
Yeah.
And did you hear about the triple murder in Shasta County?
It's funny. You sent me that email, and I didn't see anything about it. I got something just before you sent that to me. I had not even known we had a triple murder here.
I didn't either, and it was up at Lakehead. And the beginning of April, Michael Todd Merriman killed three people. One was a 75-year-old Lakehead woman, and the police went up there and took care of that, and they visited the scene, and here's two more people that are killed. And it's news to me. Why didn't we hear about that? And that's an example of the system not wanting us to know all the crime that's going on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that's the whole thing is they keep trying to say crime is getting better, crime is going down. No, it's just not getting reported. And this one's a substantial crime. And I do not remember on the local rag or in the TV that they mentioned there was a triple homicide.
And on top of that, it's considered a parole violation. That tells me he's been to prison.
Yep.
I wonder how many crimes he wasn't prosecuted with.
Well,
possibly if he would have been prosecuted for some more, he might have been in jail and not able to kill these people.
Yeah, three people might be alive today if the justice system had just done their job.
And that's why I'm saying if you vote for a 1 cent specific tax.
Specific. Keyword is specific.
For a jail. The money could go to a jail, only a jail, and to staff that jail.
Yep.
Period.
Yep.
And, I think I got a hint that we can't put a sunset on that, but I'm not sure. I might have misunderstood. But if we could put a sunset on that maybe in 2 years or 4 years to where we could make it to ask the public if they want to continue this 1 cent. If we want to build more jail, if this has done what it's doing, or if we'd like to take some of that to the mentally ill. I would like to help the mentally ill, too. But we're not going to have the money to do them both at the same time. And right now, the crime is more pressing than helping the mentally ill. The mentally ill, they commit crimes. We could lock them up. Maybe it's not right locking them up, but at least they're not on the street causing fires or yelling at cars or throwing rocks at cars. There was a guy on Cypress Street Bridge a couple of years ago that's throwing rocks at cars.
On the freeway.
Yes.
Yeah.
We go, he's mentally ill. We can't do anything about it. You know, like that gal that started the Fawn fire up at north of town at Mountain Gate. You know, she was spun on crank.
Yeah.
And she just didn't know what the heck she's doing, and they get her sober enough to where they can prosecute her, and I don't know where that's going from now.
Well, and, you know, and the thing is, these are the people that cross the street. They just walk out in front of you, and, you know, the liberal bleeding hearts of the world are like, oh, we just got to help these people. Well, the first thing you got to do is get them help, and the only way you can get them help is you've got to put them in a location where you can get them off of drugs or whatever it is, or if, in fact, maybe they have some mental issues that are deeper. You can't do it if you leave them on the street. You have to put them in a facility where, in fact, you could do that. And
we don't have a facility.
We don't have a facility. We shut down all of our mental health facilities, and we are paying the price for it. I mean, it sucks.
This Michael Merriam, he was 5'11", 140 pounds. Do you suppose he's using any fast drugs?
That would be the low body mass index, yes.
Kevin,
I'm at the opposite end.
Kevin mentioned that he and the sheriff, Michael Johnson, are working together to work on keeping drugs from coming to our area, something about roads or highways and intercepting and stuff. And we should be doing that anyway, but I don't think that's going to cure the problem.
Well,
if you keep it from coming into the area, they'll just make it here in the area.
Well, Nick, I got to say, I think you're lying, because wasn't it the whole recall thing that Kevin was almost animosity with the sheriff and causing the sheriff not to hire people, when it turned out in reality Kevin was a big supporter, worked with Mr. Johnson. The sheriff's staff has increased under Kevin's watch, and he's now doing this again. So, again, everything those recall people stated is a patent lie. So, yes, I agree. Getting the drugs, trying to catch them. It was funny, is they used to have a really aggressive unit that used to see every time you went up to Lake Shasta. They were on the side of the road in their black SUV right there at Shasta Dam Boulevard. And they used to get massive hauls.
Yeah, but that didn't help us because those hauls were coming from San Diego, Los Angeles, going to Seattle and Portland.
I get that.
So they stop them in Shasta County. They're sentenced in Shasta County. Guess where they're paroled to?
Yep.
And, you know, I applaud them. Personally, I think we ought to have the death penalty for people that are dealing large quantities of methamphetamine and making it.
Yeah.
I mean, that has been so detrimental to our society. It has touched everybody. If not in a pocketbook, I bet there's very few families that haven't had an addict in their family.
Well, yeah, here's what I think we should do, Nick. I think we should get all the fentanyl, which is being made in China, but assembled, quote-unquote, air quotes, in Mexico, and brought across. But it's been now, beyond any doubt, almost all fentanyl originates in China. I suggest that we actually package it back up and send it over to China as children's candy because that's what they're doing to us. They're killing – China is killing more people in the United States per year than we lost during the Vietnam War. Let that sink in.
So here's my proposal to the supervisors right now. We do want to do a one-cent specific sales tax, but we don't want it on this November election. There's going to be too many races on there, too many bonds, too many propositions. We need to do a special election next year, June, August, even November, to where we have time, for lack of a better word, to sell this to the community, to where they can focus on this one thing. This is what we're going to do with this money. This is how it's going to improve our quality of life. This is going to cost us, but what's it costing us now with the criminals all about?
Yeah, I believe it's more than 1 cent in taxes. This is what's costing us now between what we've got going right now.
Oh, gosh. You know, you factor in all the broken glass, all the fences that are put up, surveillance, that kind of stuff. How it affects shopping. There's people that won't go out after dark.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to worry about that because I can't stay up after dark.
But I would add, Nick, if they do that, what you say, which again, sometimes you do surprise me. You have great ideas every now and then. Make it stupid simple.
Oh yes,
these things that come out in these voter ballots, they're so misleading. They're so the pro, the con. This is what it means. The fiscal, just flat out say we're. I mean, I would love to see a 2-sentence proposal. A 1%, whatever we want to call it, tax dedicated solely to the building and maintaining of a, you know, county jail facility in Shasta County. End of story. Don't go on to all of this stuff. And I mean, because that's the problem. I think people are so sick. They don't read. They just watch the, you know, who's ever paying the most for the advertising and they go that direction. And, just keep it stupid simple. Most people can understand stupid simple.
I've got two more clips. These come from 2019 and this is the reason we don't have a jail. We should have had a jail long ago. Are you ready with those? Oh boy, she's right on it.
I'll tell you.
Say that as well.
It's Leonard Modi.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I have a couple. To either one of the committee members, I'm looking for a little more clarification on your investment area that you talked about here. You said a target of 500 jail beds, including the transitional facility as well as an inmate work group. So are you kind of like, I'm just looking for a clarification. Are you looking like for a 500-bed jail, or are you looking for maybe more jail capacity, but maybe, you know, 200 people in a work camp and those kind of things?
Yeah, I'm looking for more broad-based capacity. So if you look at a work camp, if you look at a transitional rehabilitation facility, if you look at the courtrooms 1 and 2, if you looked at bringing back the tower proposal that had been brought out before, So it's going to be a culmination of, you know, 200 beds here, 60 beds here, 100 beds here. So, yeah, I am certainly in my mindset, and I'll speak for Steve on this as well, because we talked about it. Neither of us was thinking in terms of one large facility. We were thinking about using all the different areas that we could to have jail space.
Because I know we did a jail bed study, I believe, last year, and it showed that in 2019 we should have, at the high end, was 518 beds. We currently sit at 483 and probably put at least 40 or so in out-of-county beds, so we're close to that. So we get to that 518 or 19 beds today. So, and then as you just mentioned, with courtroom one and two, probably adding 60 more beds or more, clearly gets us over our future projection of what is needed and this thing. So I'm a little bit concerned that we don't build a 300 or 400 bed jail facility that our study show would not be needed at this point. And then it also brings up the point of.
So there you have it. Modi says we don't need a jail. I asked Tom Vizenko a couple months before that. I said, how many beds in a new jail would you like to see? He told me 600.
Well, I mean, what Emperor, and I got to say, I was almost in tears hearing Emperor Modi's voice again. My gosh, that brought back some great memories, is the fact that because of a state ruling from the Supreme Court, there's a large amount of our jail. Now, they've just reopened some of it, but they have to leave an open amount of beds. They're not allowed to fill it up to capacity. So even though we might have those beds, as Mr. Modi alludes to, there is a number, and I think it's 10% or 15% have to stay pretty much open. So you can't even fill up what we've got. And I would imagine everybody listening is going to say, oh, yeah, we don't need any more jail beds because it's so safe and there's no criminals walking the street. I'm sure they would say the same thing.
On top of that, the count or the state wanted to give us a grant to build a new jail.
Yep.
And Modi, he was running the show, Emperor Modi, arrogant person he is. Well, we can't afford to staff it, and they turned it down.
Yep.
And there were ideas on how they could staff it. One guy suggested, let's build it, and we can fill half of it with ours and get some out-of-state people. We got Howdy Doody in the background, Carl Bott.
Yeah.
And, it was just no, no, no. He wants to rehab. That's what he wants is the wheel. He wants to rehab, and he thinks that he's going to send these people to rehab, and they're going to come out and be functional people. And they have to live in HUD housing, probably have subsidized wages. I don't see any of them I would hire.
Well, and you know what's funny is Mr. Johnson, the sheriff, actually had an interesting take on this, and I don't know where it stands, but he actually had reached out to Anderson, Redding, I believe it was even the marshal's office, and that to see if they would be willing to, I don't want to use the word donate, but loan an officer, once a month to man the jail. And he received a lot of pushback on that. I thought that was very interesting. And I think he's been able now to hire enough corrections officers that he doesn't need that proposal. But Modi just, immediately poo-pooed it and didn't consider options.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the reality is, and Carl Bott has just joined us. Get out of our show, Carl.
So, anyway, well, let's go to this last clip. This was about 4 months before Modi just said this. Shoot.
As a pilot. So going back to the San Antonio model, which I've talked about numerous times, which is, I think, a very effective model. It's been proven to be successful. And I just want to remind folks that they, were going to build a new jail in San Antonio because of their homeless issue and all the crime issues that they had. And instead, they invested in this homeless resource center and a variety of other mental health services. And now they have 1,000 empty beds in their existing jail. They did not have to build a jail. So they've been very successful in their efforts. And, one of the takeaways one of the things we observed there was they created this center. It had an umbrella organization running it, but they had many other organizations there doing various services. And so they had.
Well, all I've got to say is he'll poop if he eats enough. I called up the San Antonio jail about 3 months after that, explained to him what he said, and I said, do you have 1,000 empty jail beds? The guy goes, no. I said, do you have 500? He said, no.
Yeah.
I said, okay, well, I think we've been lied to.
I completely agree.
I took that to the supervisors and told them, and they didn't even talk about it. I talked to Les Paul. They didn't even discuss it. And that is what has hijacked our county, is do-gooders and liars.
Yep. Yep. And we are stuck with the consequences thereof. And it's funny that you mentioned San Antonio, just because I happened at that time when that was happening, I happened to be down there for a Formula One race. And we stayed in San Antonio. And in Texas, deep red Texas, we were driving from San Antonio to Austin, and we were on the freeway, and there was homeless people all over underneath all the freeways. So I don't even have a clue what they're talking about, all this great success in San Antonio, because I can tell you, I was there, and I did not see that.
You know, I kept bringing that up at meetings, and Mary Rickert kept defending Donnell Ewert.
Oh.
Making excuses why he said that. Well, that's what he was told. Well, you know, Donnell was knocking down pretty close to $200,000 a year. I think he should have checked his sources before he started bloviating that, oh, we'll just, you know, and he came up with the Home Key Project, where he bought houses in our community and put homeless in there and snuck it by the supervisors on a consent calendar.
Yep. Project Home Key. The current number is six or seven homes were bought by the county with your tax money, folks. You don't get a benefit if it sells for more money. You're not getting the money back. And they basically put homeless shelters in residential subdivisions.
Pretty and the impressive. County the county doesn't own those buildings. The NGO that is running the facility owns the buildings.
Isn't that great?
Isn't it, though? How much time we got, Christina?
Three
minutes. Let's play Mike DeQuisto. This is pretty good. This is, you know, Mike, retired. Here we go.
Effective the beginning of the year, that allows cities to authorize an increase in the city council pay. And it's based on the population size of the city, I believe. And I would ask the same general proposal is that the city attorney take a look at that law and either do a legal memorandum as to what it is or bring it back as an item for discussion and potential action for future council. One of the issues for the public is that we get paid $600 a month, and when you take the job, that's what you get, and I don't think it's right to ask for a raise for yourself. But if it potentially could go to $1,900 a month, and I think that would help to increase the quality of potential future applicants for city council positions. And on that basis, I think it's certainly worth at least discussing. I would agree.
So you're saying...
So how do you take that?
Well, I don't think that's an incorrect thing. They're the only ones that can actually increase their pay. Congress does it all the time. Our state assembly does it all the time. And so, I mean, could they put it in front of the voters? I guess that would be a way to do it. But, I mean, $600 for the amount of time.
Let me tell you how I took it.
How'd you take it?
That's a subliminal insult to the Three Stooges that they're not qualified.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. I totally read into that, saying we could better quality candidates in the future. I totally read into that. But I think that, you know, it's not out of line. I mean, $1,900, those guys work their tails off, and then they get, you know,
Mark
insulted.
Mazzano does.
Mark Mazzano worked his tail off and got completely screwed over by Tanessa Audette.
Yes.
So, you know.
Let me get this last thing in.
There you go.
Okay. Some kind of suit was won by the people requesting Freedom of Information Act, and three requests for a 6-month period. They wanted all the emails, anything to do with housing homeless, HMIS, continuum of care would take 190 staff hours. It would cost about $4,700. The second request would cost about $2,500. The third request would cost about $2,450. This ruling states that we can't charge them that. So now you can request anything you want. It doesn't matter how long it takes the staff to dig it out, how much it's going to cost the taxpayer. They're not responsible for reimbursing us, and I don't think too much of that. You watch the recallers take advantage of this and cost the county a ton of money.
Oh, I'm sure of it. I mean, you know, that's and the funny is, it's Freedom of Information Act. It's our information. It's our government, and they hide it from us. I mean,
but the thing is, to request all the emails for a 6-month period for all those subjects, somebody's got to go through and find those.
Yep.
And I just simply think that's ridiculous. I could see it if you've got a specific pinpointed subject Yeah, here it is. But to be fishing on an expedition looking for something, nah, it shouldn't cost us that much money.
Nope. Well, Nick, we've got another hour in, and thank you so much for your day today. Hope you stay dry because it's a dry day today.
I'm going to stay dry because it's not raining.
Thank you for listening, guys. Have a great day.
Bye.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health.